welcome each of you to the house of the Lord this morning. Everybody ought to have everything washed off around their place. The rain we had last night. For a scripture reading, chose from 1 John 4, 7 to 11. Behold, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. I think this morning, most of you will know our speaker, probably all of them do, but maybe not. Maybe Brother Dick Smith. And, Dick and I go back quite a few years. We went to Honduras together for a couple weeks one time to work on a mission down there. And so I got to know Dick real good down there and learned to appreciate him a lot more. You know, it's just... it's a good time that you work with brothers. It builds a bond. It builds a bond anytime you can work with someone else. So, we're glad to have you this morning. Shall you turn our hymnals to number 25? Shall we stand, please?
Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And we thank you, Father, for our many, many blessings. We thank you, Father, for your love. And we truly thank you, Lord, for that good spirit that we have felt here this morning. And I pray that it might continue to give us guidance and thy direction. Be with my brother Richard, Lord, as he brings the message this morning, that your spirit might be with him, and that he might bring those words that you desire him to, Lord. So I pray that you might be with each one of us if we strive to serve thee, to become more obedient. So, Father, we pray these things in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. This is a happy occasion for me, looking out over a group of people that I've learned to love. We've worshiped together. We've sorrowed together. And we've truly been blessed by the Spirit of the Lord as we have shared in those activities, which we should be engaged in at all times, that activity of preparing for Zion. This morning I'm going to take my scripture lesson from two sources, from the Book of Mormon, Jacob, the third chapter, the 7th through the 15th verses, and the Doctrine and Covenants from the 17th chapter, 17th section, and beginning with the 7th paragraph. Wherefore, we search the prophets, and we have many revelations. In the spirit of prophecy, and having all these witnesses, we obtain a hope, and our faith becometh unshaken, insomuch that we truly can command in the name of Jesus, and the very trees obey us, or the mountains, or the waves of the sea. Nevertheless, the Lord God showeth us our weakness, that we may know that it is by His grace and His great condescension unto the children of men that we have power to do these things. Behold, great and marvelous are the works of the Lord. How unsearchable are the depths of the mysteries of Him! And it is impossible that man should find out all His ways. And no man knoweth the ways, save it be revealed unto him. Wherefore, brethren, despise not the revelations of God. For behold, by the power of His word, man can come upon the face of the earth, which earth was created by the power of His words. Wherefore, if God being able to speak, and the world was, and to speak, and man was created, oh then, why not able to command the earth, of the workmanship of His hands upon the face of it, according to His will and pleasure. Wherefore, brethren, seek not to counsel the Lord, but to take counsel from His hand. For behold, ye yourselves know that He counseleth in wisdom and in justice and in great mercy over all His works. And from the Doctrine and Covenants, all those who humble themselves before God and desire to be baptized and come forth with broken hearts and contrite spirits and witness before the church that they have truly repented of all their sins and are willing to take upon the name of Jesus Christ, having a determination to serve Him to the end, and truly manifest by their works that they have received of the Spirit of Christ unto the remission of their sins, shall be received by baptism into the church. The duty of the elders, priests, teachers, deacons, and members of the Church of Christ. The duties of the members after they are received by baptism. The elders or priests are to have sufficient time to expound all things concerning the Church of Christ to their understanding previous to their partaking of the sacrament and being confirmed by the laying on of hands of the elders so that all things may be done in order. And the members shall manifest before the church and also before the elders by a godly walk and conversation that they are worthy of it,
that there may be works and faith agreeable to the Holy Scriptures, walking in holiness before the Lord. Every member of the Church of Christ, having children, is to bring them unto the elders before the church, who are to lay their hands upon them in the name of Jesus Christ, and bless them in His name. And so teach them that when they reach the age of accountability, that they're willing to enter into that covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Thank you, Brother Russ, for setting the spirit of the hour. The Lord's Spirit has been with us, truly, from the very beginning as we began to worship this morning. I would have stood and testified for my two brothers who've been called, but I felt that I had a better chance during this service than during that service where we voted on your ordination for the office of elder. I appreciated the response that you young men have given to our brother George Thomas as he had went to California and set the way for you and taught you. And I appreciate you going to Southern Missouri to minister for a few hours in a booth down there at their city festivities. I know that in this busy world of school and of attempting to meet all the schedules that you have, that you have a lot of decisions to make. And as you make those decisions in the service of the Lord, not only you, but your brothers and sisters of the church are going to be blessed tremendously. The scriptures that I brought this morning for your consideration directly relate to membership. The responsibility of membership. I put a little note down here. I'm not speaking to the choir today, because each one of you that are assembled here this morning have not yet reached the perfection or the goals, the personality or the character that God requires of you in order to be a citizen in Zion. And when I said not speaking to the choir, for a choir to be presented in a joyful manner, there has to be harmony within that choir. We cannot have discord. I ask myself, and many have asked this question, what is the highest office in the Church of Jesus Christ? It's a member in good standing. Now, I don't know whether this has ever been described to you, what a member in good standing is. It's very difficult to lay out all of the various talents and the abilities that you have in order to describe what a member in good standing is. A member in good standing is a person who is continually evaluating his everyday life to determine where he has fallen short of perfection. And he then goes to the Lord seeking forgiveness. He goes to the Lord seeking strength that he might endure, that his life might be molded into that character and personality is that of a celestial being. A member in good standing is a disciple. Christ. He's a contributor. He uses his God-given talents for the benefit of each other. Not for himself, but we are to be selfless. We are to be continually seeking the needs of our fellow man. A member is to be taught by the priesthood the requirements of discipleship. You young men have assumed an awesome responsibility. And it's necessary that we search out the scriptures, that we search out history, that we search out the prophecies of that which is to come, so that we can adequately teach, that we might produce food, spiritual food, for the edification of his children. In the third book of Nephi, the fifth chapter, as well as in Matthew, the fifth chapter, the Lord gives this admonition. I'm only going to read the one from Matthew because the one, I don't want to read a whole lot of scriptures, but they coincide with each other. They blend. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the light of the world. A city, Zion, that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before the world. Why? That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, if anybody tells you that your works aren't necessary, the Lord tells us right there that those works must be visible. That means that our character, our personality, must be visible. It must be a positive testimony. This creates harmony. But when we react to the influence of the natural man, discord comes. And when we speak out as a natural man, we destroy our character. We destroy what God intended that our lives should portray through our labors, our personality, our love and concern that we have for each other. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but fulfill. For verily I say unto you, heaven and earth must pass away, but one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law until all be fulfilled. There isn't any part of Christ's gospel that is unnecessary or that is not important, but every aspect of it is to be complied with. He asks us to become perfect, even as his Father in heaven is perfect. This is laid at the root of each member. It isn't something that we can ignore. As the restored church of Jesus Christ and a member thereof, our righteousness must exceed that of the other churches of the world. Christ told us that our righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, or we would not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm paraphrasing here for your edification and understanding. And from Barabbas, one of the scriptures of the lost books of the Bible, he instructs his people, his brothers, as such. Seeing then the days are exceedingly evil, and the adversary has got the power of the present world, we ought to give the more diligence to inquire into the righteous judgments of our Lord. And then from 2 Hermas, the 10th chapter, another lost book, he gives this instruction to us. They who never sought out the truth, nor inquired concerning the majesty of God, but only believe, are involved in the affairs of the heathen. But they that have the fear of the Lord and search out the truth concerning God, having all their thoughts toward the Lord, apprehend whatsoever is said to them. Apprehend means understand what is said to them, and forthwith understand it, because they have the fear of the Lord in them. You know, the fear of the Lord is a good thing. It stirs our conscience. For where the Spirit of the Lord dwells, there is also much understanding added. Wherefore, join thyself to the Lord, and thou shalt understand all things. So Hermas gave us the same instruction that Moroni did as he closed the final pages of the Book of Mormon. He tells us that we are to pray diligently, that we are to seek out the Lord, and we're to ask Him believing. And the Lord will, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will make the truth known to us with respect to the words of the Book of Mormon as He was teaching them. And He goes on and then says, and by this method ye may learn the truth of all things. The Lord doesn't want you to be ignorant. He wants you to search out. And this is the responsibility of each member, to search out, to be inquisitive, to know what the Lord requires of you. A child cannot learn from his parents if they just permit him to grow up and then never have any interaction with that child to teach him to read, write, or what is wrong, or what is correct. What is acceptable in the family and what is not acceptable. This has to be taught to the little ones. And as adults, we are little ones with respect to the children of the Lord. And it's necessary that we search out His will and His pleasure in our lives. The 12th chapter of Alma. Alma and the Sons of Mosiah. You know the mischievous acts that they got into. Our children get into mischievous things too. And they rebel. And they must be chastised by the word of the Lord. They must be chastised by our love. And they must be chastised sometimes by the laying on of hands. that they might know right from wrong. So here we have the testimony of Alma and the sons of Mosiah in the 12th chapter. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time the angel first appeared unto him. Therefore Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy? They were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong in the knowledge of the truth. They had sought out the words of the Lord. They had become strong. For they were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently, that they might know the word of the Lord. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. The priesthood have this responsibility. That is why when those hands were laid upon you to convey the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of the priesthood, either Aaronic or Melchizedek, you had this responsibility. This responsibility is not just found or acquired or fulfilled by just studying it out. It's necessary that it be conveyed to each member of that's under your responsibility. You know that Alma called priests into the church. He called one for every 50. And they had that responsibility to teach, to be in the homes. And I'll expand on that a little further on. In the Doctrine and Covenants, in keeping with what Alma has said here in the 12th chapter of Alma, Doctrine and Covenants, 87th section says, search diligently, pray always, and be believing, and all things shall work together for you good. If you walk uprightly and remember the covenant wherewith ye have covenanted one with another. And then from 2 Nephi, the 14th chapter. And now I, Nephi, can say no more. The Spirit stoppeth mine utterances, and I am left to mourn because of the unbelief and the wickedness and the ignorance and the stiff-neckedness of men, for they will not search knowledge, nor understand great knowledge, when it is given unto them in plainness, even as plain as the word can be. What does the Lord tell us? My gospel, my word, my commandments, my laws, my statutes are plain. They're so simple that a child need not err therein. What happens? Something falls between their eyes. And that is a rebellion. Or they feel that the Lord expects too much of them. So we make a determination, well, what don't I have to do? What's the most important? I'll try to follow those. The commandments of God are not an either-or situation. This morning, as I was sitting here meditating and listening to your testimonies, I was impressed by one thing. Each of you said that you recognize your shortcomings. You recognized that you were sinful people. That the natural man was evident in your lives. Now, I was happy to hear this, because had you have felt that everything was all right, that, well, look at all the good that I have done. Look at the sacrifices that I have made. That spirit would have been a condemning spirit. That would be the spirit of the devil, convincing you or attempting to convince you that you were holy and righteous. And I can say with a positive knowledge that I have not obtained that position yet. But I'm in the process of praying and studying and sharing so that my life can be perfected, that I might please the Lord in my efforts to serve Him and to serve mankind. The Lord said that He has given us everything that we need. And in Matthew, the 6th chapter, I'll read this short one. Therefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He not provide for you, if ye are not of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? For wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why is it that ye murmur among yourselves, saying, we cannot obey thy word, because ye have not all these things, and seek to excuse yourselves, saying that after all these things do the Gentiles seek? Behold, I say unto you that your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. Wherefore, seek not the things of this world, but seek ye first to build up the kingdom of God and to establish His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Notice He does not say to seek the riches first. He says to seek the kingdom first. This is our primary objective. And we have waited. Zion isn't any closer or farther away than the spiritual condition of my people justified. Is there anyone in here that does not want Zion? This is what we have prayed about. This is what we've testified of. This is what we have sought for. Every sense we were introduced to the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Zion. Utopia. Yes. Timothy, in the 6th chapter, goes on to explain this situation of what we should seek first. And having food and raiment, let us therewith content. Let us be therefore content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. O thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. There's many, many more. As a member, there's one thing that I did not mention at first in the requirements, and that is we are a member of the body of Christ. It doesn't make any difference which part of that body that you're a member of. It doesn't make any difference whether you're part of the arm, the hand, the fingers, the thumb. It doesn't make any difference whether you're the nose, the eyes, the ears. It does make a difference about your mouth, because it can get you in a lot of trouble. And you have to have a lot of control from what's contained inside of here so that what comes out here is edifying and will strengthen and build up. But in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it explains with respect to the body of Christ, of which you are members. And let me read this, and then I'll expand on this just a little more. And they were all one member. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But how are they many members, yet one body? That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. How? Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? I say unto you, nay. For I have shown unto you a more excellent way. Therefore covet earnestly the best gifts. As I recounted the various members of the body, I have a finger here that wants to stay in this position. And at night, when I get up in the morning, it will be in that position. And it's painful. Not excruciating. It's annoying. Something isn't functioning properly in there. And that part of either a tendon or a nerve not functioning brings distress to the body. It brings concern to the mind as to what's wrong. Now, like I said, it doesn't make any difference which part of that body that you're a member of. Whether you're a nerve, a blood vessel, the heart pumps the blood of life through every fiber of your being. And Christ designed the body in such a manner. He also designed the church in a like manner as the body. Each one having different gifts, and those gifts functioning for the pleasure and the fulfillment of the responsibilities of the body in Christ. The priesthood is to magnify their calling and minister to the members. Ministry is not presiding or assisting in the services in the church, but ministry takes place in the homes consistently. Not yearly, not monthly, not weekly, but diligently when needed. If the priesthood are not aware of the problems that a family has, they cannot assist. And if you are a blood vessel that is responsible to carry the nourishment to that family, that it might be healed, that it might function within that environment whereby Zion can become a reality, we are not fulfilling our responsibilities as priesthood members. And members have the same responsibility to be aware of the needs of their neighbors and convey those needs on to the priesthood or to those that can give assistance within that family. If we don't, we're failing. I know that you're all aware of the objective of Christ's church. That is to love the Lord God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength. To love our neighbor and brother as Christ loves us. To seek first the kingdom of God and establish His righteousness. We become the body of Christ. We are to be unified. We are to be one with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Zion. We are to be the light unto the world. I'm very happy to be here this morning and share with you. It gives me great pleasure to know that you have prayed for me prior to my coming. That the Lord might use you today for your edification and strength. Brothers and sisters, it's your responsibility to call for help if you need help. And priesthood, it's your responsibility to be there, to give that assistance and help, spiritual, manual, to give strength to carry those burdens. We will never know the burdens that another person carries unless we have an intimate relationship with our brothers and sisters. I would challenge you this day to become a great choir, to be be harmonious in that which you deliver, that it might not offend the ears, but it might bring joy and peace and happiness, and that we might all under the presence of the Holy Spirit recognize that the Spirit of God is here with us. God, when He breathed into us the breath of life, each one of us, He also breathed a part of divinity into our lives. And as our brother read from the scripture in the our call to worship this morning, God breathed into each one of us love, for God is love. And that love is to grow within us. It is to flow outward from us to encompass all whom we come in contact with from day to day. May God's love abide with you, to guide you, to strengthen you, to encourage you, that you will seek out His kingdom, that we might live, that we might portray that light that is set on a hill for the world to look to, is my prayer.
Hymnals to number 7, and then after the song, Brother Ben will bring a benediction. Shall we stand, please?
Watch over those that could not attend today. Guide their hearts to you. And we ask you to watch over those who troubles do not know at this time. And watch over us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah. I never.